There are times when Jesus says things that we might call extreme. Things that make us stop and say, did he really mean that? And we see several examples of this in our gospel reading for today. Jesus says, for example, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus also says, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Our temptation, Christians, is when we hear these things, to write them off, to soften them up and explain them away so that they are easier for us to hear. Well, how do we do that? How do we soften them up? Well, this sometimes happens by comparing what we hear to other things that the Bible says. The Bible says, for example, there is none truly righteous. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And because that's what the Bible says, we say, well, that must mean Jesus didn't really mean what he said about our righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and the Pharisees. The Bible also says that there is forgiveness for our sins. The Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Bible says that God is patient and long-suffering, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So we say, well, that must mean that Jesus doesn't really mean the things that he says, that we are forgiven whenever we are angry or have lustful thoughts. It's almost like he doesn't mean it. Now, of course, this is a very tricky temptation, Christians, because on the one hand, it's a perfectly right thing to do to compare the Bible with itself. It's a good practice to try to understand a difficult passage by going to one that is more clear so that we can understand what God means. But on the other hand, it's possible to abuse this practice and to use it even to explain away what is perfectly clear, to take the hard edges off the Bible, to make it soft and easy to the point that it's no longer offensive. We turn it into something our flesh is willing to hear, or at least more willing than it was before. But we might also try to explain away what Jesus says by coming up with all kinds of excuses or using a line of logic that shows he didn't really mean it. The scribes and the Pharisees are bad people, you see. And Jesus was always criticizing them for their self-righteousness. So surely what he means here is that I just need to be a good person, which I already am, and that Jesus simply means, I need to just be nice to everybody, and that's what really counts. Or those times when I was angry wasn't actually a sin, you see. My brother deserved it. I was perfectly right to be angry like I was. I'm clearly in the right here. And those times that I committed adultery, well, it wasn't really sin, you see. I didn't do anything physical, and what I was watching, well, it didn't really have any sex in it. And after all, you can't help but notice a beautiful woman or a handsome man. It's perfectly natural. Yeah, my thoughts weren't the best for a moment, but they're just thoughts. Nothing more. So what Jesus says doesn't really apply to me. He didn't mean what he said. But softening things up like this, Christians, is a serious problem. And not just because it distorts Jesus' words into something else or neuters them completely. Our reading, after all, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's part of a longer section within the Sermon on the Mount. And if we jump down to the end of that section, we hear Jesus say in verse 48, You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, Jesus is saying all of these things as a way of showing us what it means to be like God. And if they seem extreme to us, that just shows how unlike God we really are. Our attempts to soften these things up is often just sin trying to wriggle out of them. And it ends up making God into something less than what he is. So instead of trying to explain it all away, we should listen carefully instead. And in this way, we will learn what it means to be like God. So let's take that first thing that Jesus says. Matthew 5, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does Jesus mean? Well, Jesus in that section is insisting on the law. Nothing of the law will be abolished, he says. Not an iota, not a dot. We might say that every I will be dotted and every T will be crossed. Because Jesus' coming is not an excuse for our sins. As if Jesus has come into the world and now nothing I do matters anymore because I've been forgiven. As if I can live an unholy life or that my failings do not matter because God forgives me anyway. Christians, being like God is not about setting the bar as low as possible. And it's not about not caring at all. Being like God means striving to be like him in everything. God's forgiveness should not move us to complacency, but to strive even harder. God's mercy should move us to greater and greater holiness. Because after all, God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ, his Son. So why would we not want to put away all that displeases him? Let's go down to the next thing Jesus says. Verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Well, what does Jesus mean? Well, he's correcting here a misunderstanding of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is not just prohibiting the act of murder, but it is also prohibiting everything that leads up to it. Murder is simply the last step in a long chain that begins with anger. So being like God is not just a matter of avoiding unlawfully killing someone. Being like God means striving to be like him in all of our interactions with one another. It means being quicker to forgive than to lash out. It means being quicker to be patient than to be irritated. It means striving to be reconciled with one another, even if the personal cost is great. Because God has forgiven you, Christians. He has every right to be angry with you because of your sins. Sins that you have committed over and over again, and often the same ones. Yet God shows you mercy. God is willing to forgive you and to be patient with you. So why should we do anything less? And finally, the third thing that he says in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Well, what does Jesus mean here? Well, just like before, Jesus is correcting a misunderstanding of the sixth commandment. Breaking the sixth commandment is not just about committing physical adultery. Adultery, again, is the last step in a long chain that begins with internal feelings. So the way to avoid such impurity, Christians, is not to make excuses for it, to say that it's only natural, that it's just a thought, and so forth. Rather, it means striving against it, striving to avoid it at all costs, even if it means I have to give something up in the process. Can't use the computer without going to a bad website? Get rid of the computer. Can't go on your phone without a temptation to wander? Get rid of the phone. Can't be alone without falling into sin? Stop being alone. Yes, it's all very inconvenient, especially in this digital age. But what means more to you, these things or God? It's better to lose one of your members, to be severely inconvenienced, and to enter into life crippled rather than to have your whole body thrown into hell. Because God is worth the inconvenience, Christians, and it's better to lose all things here on earth and to enter into heaven, where we will find something far better than what we have lost here. So let us not soften up what Jesus says. Let us take it all quite seriously, because Jesus shows us what it means to be like God in all things. And when we listen to his voice, Christians, when we take his words seriously, he will lead us in the right way and finally bring us into glory, where we will perfectly be like God and see him face to face in true righteousness and purity forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lead us in the way of righteousness and make us like yourself, so that we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.